How are you? You're doing okay? I think, I hesitate to say this, I want to knock on something. I think the warm weather is here, and I think it's here to stay, and everybody said amen. I know if you're not, listen, I know. Some of you are not such big fans of summer, I'm ready for it. I've told the Lord, listen, after the winter's here, I give you glory and honor for every drop of sweat in Jesus' name that happens for me for the next however long. I'm glad to have some warm weather, and I hope you are as well. I had an opportunity to be with a bunch of young people this past weekend. Thank you for allowing me to be gone. We were at Spring Retreat, just really not far, over at Camp Bennett, which is in Brookville. If you've ever wondered what the middle of nowhere looks like, it has a name, and it's called Brookville. I drove around, sort of, trying to get to different places. Beautiful, beautiful farmland. It's one of those things where people are so far out that you kind of worry for them. Like, what if this person were to, like, fall off their roof cleaning their gutters? It's a long way. I guess it's one of those things where you just have community and you hope that the farmhouse that you can barely see in the distance will send someone over to drive you the 800 miles to, that's not true, I'm being hyperbolic. But it's in the middle of nowhere, it was beautiful, we had a great time, and God showed up. Six young people gave their lives to the Lord for the first time. Six young people received salvation. And that, the number doesn't impress me. Lots of people received ministry in different ways, but it always excites me when God's kingdom grows and I can see it. I know it's happening all over the world. I know that there's revolution and revelation happening all over the world in the name of our God and our Savior, and that's great. But when I have an opportunity to see that, it really excites me. I'm grateful for how God's gospel, how the story of Jesus is still powerful. It's still enough to save. It'll never change. It was good yesterday, it's good today, and it will be good forever. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is power in His Word, and I'm grateful that we serve a risen Savior. I'm grateful that His blood was enough for everything before, everything now, and everything to come. I want to share with you over the next couple of weeks what I had an opportunity to share at retreat. Because sometimes I think, you think, and maybe this is an assumption, that when we go to these things, we might sing a little bit. Like there might be some discipleship, you know, we might crack a Bible. But sometimes I think you think that really what we do is like we just kind of mess around. Now listen, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of messing around. I'm not going to lie to you. We do. We have some fun. But spring retreat is a little bit different in summer camp in that it's pretty discipleship intensive. We get there on a Friday night, and by Sunday afternoon, everybody is worn slap out because we have literally, have you ever tried to stuff a suitcase? Like to the place where you're sitting on it, you know what I mean? And you're trying to like zip it. That's what we do with young people and with God. We literally are just like trying to stuff as much as we can in about 48 hours. And so we get there on Friday night and we have a service. And then on Saturday morning, we have three discipleship breakout sessions where we break these kids into groups and they go to these three different places and they learn three different things. And the theme of this year's retreat was called Awaken. We have to wake up. How many of you are fans of sleep? I heard one soul. How many of you? Yes, I've got hands. I see hands everywhere. I feel the anointing. I feel the Lord in this place. Some of you love some sleep, and I can understand that. I've never been a good sleeper. I'm not. I'm one of those people who sleeps lightly. I guess when I was a teenager, I remember getting 8 hours of sleep, but my average sleep cycle is around 5.5 to 6. That's what I get. I know listen, I don't take drugs. I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, that's not natural. You're not natural if you're only sleeping 5 hours and you're this wired. Nope, that's just naturally me. God has given me that, and I'm grateful for that. I have other challenges. This is a blessing, and so I work and I move in that. My wife is a fan of sleep. I'm not going to say she worships it. She's not here. I can say that sometimes she worships sleep. She's out there with my son while he's still sleeping, speaking of. My wife has always been a good sleeper. Like somebody outside can shut a car door. It can be like 2 o'clock in the morning, I can be dead asleep, and somebody in my neighborhood will shut a car door, and I'll wake straight up. What was that? What do you mean, what was that? I don't know what my brain was thinking. It was a car door, buddy. Settle down. We're not under attack. Everything is fine. The house is not falling. Christina, before the baby, could sleep through tornadoes, torrential rain. I mean, there were times when we first got married, we lived in a residence hall, and if you ever want to hear some great stories about the amazing things that college kids do, come and talk to me sometime. Because stuff would happen right outside our window that just was right off of TV. And I would be like with the blinds, just like this, like, I can't believe this is happening right now. And she's just like, they're yelling. I could hear them like you could hear me now. They're outside yelling, and she's just, I mean, okay, I'm not saying she's snoring. I don't want to lie about that. I'm not saying that was happening, but she could just be out. My wife sometimes, she would say, you know what I'm going to do today? And I would say, I don't know. She'd be like, take a nap. She would literally have like excitement, like at the idea of being able to sleep in the middle of the day to take a nap. Now, of course, we have this sweet little two-year-old named Hudson. And Hudson, we have this wonderful piece of equipment in our room. It's called a monitor. And what happens with the monitor is anything that's happening in the baby's room, you can hear at all times of the day or night. I mean, just it's so amazing. It's like you're in there with him in that moment at 3:30 in the morning when he wakes up and starts kicking his crib for whatever reason. So now sleep is a little harder to come by, but I know people who love sleep. I sleep when I can. I do the best that I can. Anybody in here ever slept walked? Anybody ever been a sleepwalker? Anybody ever experienced that? I know you're probably embarrassed, probably. No? Yes? Well, I had a quick hand, and she quickly like, please don't call, please don't point me out. Sleepwalking is such an interesting thing because it really happens. And I wish that it looked like this, because if it looked like this, then we would know what was going on. But this is not how it looked. I did a lot of research on sleep and on sleepwalking. At any given time, 1 to 15% of the general population of the United States is sleepwalking. Now, that's okay, 1 to 15% doesn't sound like a lot. 2014, there was a census taken, and in 2014, we understand that there's 319 million souls living in these United States. Now, that doesn't count Hawaii or where else we've annexed, whatever. Yeah, all the contiguous, we'll just say the contiguous. In the contiguous 48 states, there's 300, as of 2014, that's probably changed at this point, there were 319 million people living there. 1 to 15% of the general population. So let me just throw this number at you. Somewhere between 3 and 47 million people sleepwalk. That should freak you out. Because 47 million people who are moving and functioning as if awake but asleep, that weirds me out just in thought. Just one person, that weirds me out. I had one episode when I was a kid. I won't share with you because it was kind of gross. I went to bed, I ate too much, and then the next morning I woke up and I walked into my bathroom and what I had eaten was there on the floor. Had no recollection of that. I was maybe 8 or 9. It shocked me. I thought my brother was playing a trick on me. Like, I went and got him, and I was like, what is this? And he's like, that's your dinner, dude. What are you talking about? That's the only time I ever remember. Well, I did have another episode much later in life, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Sleepwalking is very interesting because it's not really a psychological problem. I mean, there's some issues, like they call it sleep hygiene. Okay, fine. If you don't have like a regular bedtime, if you don't have some like some things that you do around your bedtime, I don't want to call them rituals because that scares people, but we all do have rituals, right? You take your shoes off and then you, with the teeth brushing, and then you plump your pillow and then maybe you read for like 10 or 15 minutes, right? If you don't have healthy sleep hygiene, sometimes sleepwalking can happen to you. Sometimes if you're like super fatigued, like you've been up and been up and been up and haven't gotten a lot of sleep, sometimes you'll sleepwalk. There's a higher incidence. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just trying to educate you on sleepwalking. Stay with me. It'll all make sense later. There's a higher incidence in children, like ages 3 to 7, but adults absolutely get it. Adults sleepwalk as well. And here's the thing. This is not how it looks. Allegedly, I'm not telling you to do this, but allegedly, you could go out onto the intranets, and you could allegedly find a video of a man, a full-grown in his late 40s, early 50s man, and his daughter, his young daughter, videos him while he is sleepwalking. And it's terrifying because his eyes are wide open, he's smiling, he walks down the steps of his home, he begins to interact with them, but he's not making any sense. All he keeps talking about is the little birds, the little birds. Oh, did you see that? The little birds. He's walking around like this, the little birds, I saw the little birds. At one point in time, he looks at his daughter and he says, Kayla, the little bird is right behind you. The man is dead asleep. Something's not right with that. That is worrisome to me. He's dead asleep and then ends up walking right back up the steps and right back into his bedroom and going to sleep. Allegedly, another video. You might see a young child who comes out of his bed and he's just really upset and he's doing this and he's going back and forth and he goes into the bathroom and he pulls the bath mat out from in front of the shower and he just takes it and puts it right in front of the steps. And he stands there and he goes, and then he goes back and goes and gets in his bed and goes to sleep. It's bizarre. There are many symptoms to sleepwalkers. For instance, talking. People will talk in their sleep. They'll just say things. And talking in your sleep is one thing. I once heard Christina say, no, you have to clean the cross with Windex. She said that. One other time, she was just like, no more chocolate chip cookies, thank you. Like, in that voice, as if it were happening in that moment. I mean, it was very clear, but fortunately, I knew that she was asleep. She wasn't doing this type of deal. So they talk. Sleepwalkers talk. They don't have any memory of what happens. They have no memory of the sleepwalking, even though the average sleepwalker sleepwalks from anywhere between 3 and 30 minutes. A half an hour of functioning like you know what's going on when you are dead to the world. You have no idea that you've even left your bed. They are very hard to wake up. It's hard to wake a sleepwalker up. Sometimes they engage in inappropriate behavior. For instance, driving. There have been multiple cases of people who, while sleepwalking, got in their vehicles and left wherever they were to go somewhere else. Now, I don't know how these cases were reported. Here's what I'm hoping and praying. I'm hoping and praying that at some point in time they just woke up and they were like, oh no. Or maybe they got pulled over by a cop because they were, who knows. But there are cases of people who drive in their sleep. Some people sleep eat. There might be videos in the internet. You can see people go right to the fridge, open it up, and just begin to put, like not, this is how you know they're sleeping. It's not like they pull the stuff out and they make a sandwich. They just begin to push food into their face. Like it could be an egg, and they'll just push that there. They'll grab something else and generally smear that across there. It's weird. I may have watched a video of a man who was really upset with his wife because he wanted to know where the milk was going. Like, they were going through a gallon of milk a week, and he was so upset with her, and she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So middle of the night, wife, who is very wise, gets a video of man getting up out of bed. He gets up. He walks to the fridge. He stands at the fridge. He opens the fridge. He looks in for a minute. He pulls the milk out. He walks over to the counter, puts the milk on the counter, stands there for a good 5 or 10 seconds, takes the cap off the milk, dumps half of it down the drain, blip, 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 puts the milk back, puts the lid back on, walks back over to the fridge, puts it in the fridge, shuts the door, and she videos him from the time he gets up out of the bed to the time he does that. Ladies, sometimes men need proof. Sometimes they need you to catch them on film before they're going to believe that they're really doing the foolishness that you are accusing them of. And sometimes you need to just protect yourself and be like, oh yeah, it's me. I'm drinking about 16 ounces of milk a day. I just got a funnel and I'm just killing it. It's ridiculous. The inappropriate behavior that sleepwalkers... I was okay with all of that, but sometimes sleepwalkers just scream. How's that for just terrifying? You're just having a conversation in the kitchen, and someone who has been to bed recently comes back downstairs and walks into the kitchen, and you're thinking, hi, how are you? And then they just shriek right in your face, and then when you die and go to heaven, you can see from heaven that they were indeed sleepwalking. That would freak me out if someone just began screaming. Sometimes they'll just scream. They'll just yell for no reason. Now, there's a myth that you're not supposed to wake sleepwalkers up. It's a myth. There was this whole thing going around that if you woke a sleepwalker up, that they would have some type of traumatic psychological. Nope, they just wake up. If you shake them enough and if you give them enough reality testing, they will eventually wake up. Nothing bad happens. But the problem is sometimes they'll fight you. That's literally a symptom of sleepwalking. They may attack a person who's trying to wake them up. Here's what I'm thinking I'm doing. I'm just walking around with a pillow. Just kind of trying to gently, God, whoa, away from the fireplace. Let's just kind of move back in this area. You're just sort of trying to surround. If you're going to swing at me because I'm trying to save your life, okay, good luck to you. Hopefully you make it back to your bed safely. Sleepwalking is bizarre, and there's no treatment. There's no real treatment except for hypnosis. They've determined that hypnosis works. How many of you are going to pay several hundred dollars to let someone into your mind? Nope, no takers. I'm shocked. I didn't see a single hand up in the air. No, because I know what happens. They make you cluck like a chicken when something, that's what they do. They convince you that every time they turn the TV on, you're going to cluck like a chicken. I know that's what, because I've seen it on the movies, and obviously if it's on the movies, that's how it goes. That's what they're going to do to me. They're not going to make me not sleepwalk. Every time Christina turns on the TV, I'm going to go, buck, 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 and nobody's going to know what's going on. There's no way I'm going to let someone into my mind to try to hopefully fix the sleepwalking. That's the only fix, though. It's interesting, sleepwalking, how we see people who just seem to be functioning. The only other instance I've ever had of sleepwalking is sleepwalking in my faith. That was so funny. It was so funny how I'm doing the research on this and realizing that there are times when my eyes are wide open and I am having conversations, and I'm coming into church, and I'm writing sermons, but I'm just dead asleep. I'm literally just going through the motions. People see me, we talk, sometimes I visit, but inside, there's nothing happening. It's just like every other day. It's interesting how we as Christians, sometimes we sleepwalk through our faith. And listen, I don't think anybody in here has determinedly, doggedly said, you know what, no faith for me, because I don't think you would be in here if you'd made that decision. But here's what I think happens to us. I think the day-to-day puts us to sleep. I think the ins and the outs of our regular lives, I think the grind of our personal schedules and just the over and the over. I think eventually what happens is God becomes this kind of distant presence that we are aware of and that we sometimes turn toward and try to engage. But for the most part, we just get so used to what I heard somebody refer to as the dailies. We just get so used to the day to day. We get up, we eat something. Hopefully we get dressed before we leave the house, because you are sleepwalking if you don't. And then you go somewhere and you do a thing, whether it's work or maybe it's school, and you see different people and you interact with those people. And at some point in time, you have more food because hopefully you eat lunch. Or maybe you're fasting because you're a better Christian than I am. God bless you. The Lord will bless you for that. At some point in time, you put more food into your body and then you continue to do what it was that you were doing. And then ultimately, it gets to a certain point on the clock where it's time to not do that anymore. And so maybe you get in a mode of transportation and you drive or you ride or you walk or you do whatever. And then you're back home. And then there's responsibilities at home, because the house might not necessarily be clean. And so you're trying to think of that. But then again, there's another food thing that needs to happen. And maybe you've got multiple people in your home. You can't just feed yourself. There are people that you have to prepare for. There's the production process of that. You prepare the food. You consume the food. Then there has to be the cleanup of the food. And then before you know it, it's back to bed for you. And then hopefully you sleep. But then you wake up. And then you get something to eat, and then you put some clothes on, and it just begins to spin out day after day after day, and it is hard. It's hard not to just begin to sleepwalk. Before you know it, you've been to church for 4 weeks in a row, but that's really the only God time you've had. I've changed a lot of this. I shared a lot of my personal testimony with the young people. I've changed a lot of this because now I'm talking to me. I was talking to them, and now I'm talking to me. Before you know it, a month has gone by, and the only God that you've had has been in the 45 minutes to an hour and a half that you've had at church. That's it. And maybe you've prayed a little bit, but really more than what you've prayed about is like needs. You haven't really spent any time just in conversation with the Father, talking about things, maybe thanking Him for whatever blessing has come across your mind or come across your finances or come across your life or those that you love. Maybe you've spent some time in prayer with that, but mostly it's just been like, Lord, fix the economy. God, this is terrible. Lord, do something about the government. Lord, fix our world. God, I have a friend who has a need. It would be great if you could work this out in my life. So often, we are just sleepwalking, and it's just the motions. We're going through the motions of faith. It's interesting when you sleepwalk through your faith, you have some of the same symptoms as you do if you just wake up in the middle of the night and nobody knows what's going on, and you go and pour out half the gallon of the milk. You have some of the same symptoms. Sometimes, even though you're a person of faith, sometimes even though you feel like you've got God in your heart, sometimes you just start talking. And the stuff that's coming out of your mouth doesn't look that much different than the people around you who don't believe what you believe, don't have the God that you have, don't have the Spirit in living inside of them that you have living inside of you. You sound just like everybody else. It's not necessarily intentional. And let's be honest, we just can't go around 24/7 just God talk. We just can't do that. But before you know it, you've been lulled into the sense of sameness. You're not talking Jesus talk. You're talking world talk. It's interesting how that happens. Sometimes your behavior doesn't match the belief that you say you have. Sometimes you look like everybody else around you. Sometimes you go to church, but sometimes you stop going to church just because you don't feel like it. Sometimes you give, but sometimes you don't give just because you feel like, I want to do something else with that money. Sometimes you pray and sometimes you don't pray. Suddenly, as you're sleepwalking, you're looking less and less like the person God created you to be, the person that He gave His Spirit to, and more like everybody else out there. It's hard to wake up out of that, isn't it? Isn't it hard to wake up out of that when you get in a rut of faith? And I want to be careful when I say a rut of faith, because here's what I think. I think that those of us that still do this as much as we can, those of us that still sacrificially give of what comes through our finances, those of us who still take an opportunity to spend time in prayer with the Lord for whatever reason, I still think we're better off than those out there who don't have it. Let me be clear. I still think the rut of faith is a better rut to be in. However, we're not created for that. We're not created to stagnate in our faith, to stagnate in our belief. We're not created to just walk through life like this in our faith, where we haven't shared with anybody the hope that we have, where we haven't given toward any need because really we've got our own needs. When we haven't even considered a mission trip, I've never been on a mission trip, I'm not a missionary, I would never go. Haven't even considered how we might contribute to or be a part of missions. We come and we sing the songs, and when we leave, we are still asleep. It's hard to wake up out of that. Even if you see signs of God in your life, even if you see signs of blessing, even if you have those moments where you have that realization, you know what, the Lord is working and moving into my life. Sleepwalking is easier. And it's really hard when somebody tries to wake you up. I will never forget being a teenager. I'll share this one part with you. I'll never forget being a teenager. And I was a part of this. My family was part of a very small Bible church. That was literally what it was called, Cornerstone Bible. And they were kind of a non-denominational, interdenominational, but the Lord was working and moving there. It was a small group of people much like this who loved God and were on fire for the Lord, and had, there was just this great sense of community. And at that point in my teenage years, I really was trying to engage my faith, but I was sleepwalking. So I was church Ben, right? I was church Ben, and then I was regular Ben outside of the church. And I'll never forget when a guy that was, he was an older guy in the youth group, he looked at me and he was like, "You're not a Christian, man. You're not." Angry doesn't cover it. Angry. I was angry, because how dare he look into my life and tell me how I was failing. Now, eventually, unfortunately, this guy fell off. Something happened in his life, and something happened in that church for him, and he chose to live a life unto his own, and he chose to exalt himself to the place of, "I'm the most important, and I'm going to live to make me happy." But in that moment, he was walking the walk and talking the talk. And he had every right to look at me and say, "You're not a Christian, man." And that's hard, because what I wanted to do was, he was just trying to shake me. He was trying to say, "Look, take a look at what is going on. Take a look at the person that you say you are, and take a look at the person that other people see you to be. Take a look there, because I think you're going to find that it doesn't match up." It's hard when someone comes to us and tries to challenge us on any level, because what we want to do is be defensive. I do what I can. I go to my church. I show up to functions when I can. I was so proud of this church when about 30 of us, of our small community, almost 30 of us went over to that elementary school to make that thing happen. I was very proud of that. I was very proud that almost half of our community went to make that happen. I show up. I go to church. I pray. I do what I need to do. I give when I've got. It's so challenging when someone tries to wake us up and say, "Listen, you're asleep. There is more for you." This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is talking to a group of people who are trying to do the best that they can. They're the way, the truth, and the life. That's what they're trying to follow. They have been indoctrinated with the real faith. They are trying to leave behind the religiosity. Listen, I'm not knocking religion. I once told somebody that religion is kind of it's the wrapping to the fruit. It's the rind. It's the peel. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen an apple that grew and got real big without the peel on it? You ever seen a banana just be like, "Banana," with no banana? No. There, you've got to have some. The fruit has something to keep it together, something that contains it. Religion, if you want to call it that, is the container for the fruit, in the same way that you're the container for the fruit. Ooh, that just got deep. In the same way that you're the container for the fruit of the gospel, religion is the container for faith, if that makes sense to you. And these people are trying to walk away from the religiosity, and they're trying to be all about Jesus, and they're trying to follow the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul teaches a lot of good things to them. And in chapter 5, he is saying, "Wake up." This is what it says. "For you are children of the light and of the day. We are not of darkness or of night. Keep awake. Do not sleep like others. Watch and keep your minds awake to what is happening. That's from the New Life Version, which is a little bit more of a paraphrase even than the NIV, but I like the language of it. Keep awake, and it doesn't sacrifice the original meaning. What Paul is talking about to the believers is, a day is coming, that day is coming, that day when he comes again. There is a day coming where Jesus is going to come back and set all of this right, and do not be found to be asleep in your faith. People are sleeping all over the place. Stay awake. Dumb people go dumb places and do dumb things at night because we think that the night covers us, don't we? When the lights go out, doesn't mean you can get away with stuff. I will never forget when my dad said, I guess it was before I even started the foolishness and shenanigans of my walking away from my faith life. He looked at me and he said, son, you need to understand that there will come a time when everything that is done in the dark will be brought out in the light. Everything that has occurred will be shouted from the rooftops. I will never forget that moment of sheer panic. Because I think maybe I was 11 or 12. Even at that point, I had told some fibs. Even at that point, and if you tell her, I'll call you a liar, I had stuck my tongue out at my mother's backside. She had just given me the what for, and that was scary enough because Pat Spearman is no one to joke with. And she turned around and walked away, and I went, and that's what I was thinking in my mind. I thought, my mother is going to see me stick my tongue out at her, and not even God can save me in heaven from that. There will be wrath. I may escape God's judgment, but Pat Spearman knows no bounds. There's going to be a problem here. I remember that. We think that the darkness covers our selfishness and our deceit and our sinfulness. And Paul is saying, listen, stay awake. Do not fall asleep. We don't have the time, ladies and gentlemen, to think that other people are going to share the faith with the world that they need. There's not enough time for that. There's not enough time in your life to think, I'll get around to being better. I'll get around to being more. I'll get around to that scripture reading. I'll get around to that quiet time. I'll get around to spending time with God. I'll get around to that. There's not enough time for that. We have to awaken to the fact that there is a problem, and that problem is this. If we are not careful, we sleepwalk through our lives of faith. There's absolutely more for us, but we have to wake up. And there's no cure for spiritual sleepwalking save one. If you let God into your mind, if you let him in to your day-to-day, if you bring him intentionally, willfully, purposefully into your day-to-day, then you will change, but you've got to be intentional about it. We have to wake up, and he has got to be a living, breathing, thriving part of our days. Listen, he's already with you. Everyone in here should say amen to the fact that God never leaves you nor forsakes you, even when you're not paying attention, even when you are sleepwalking through your life, even when you have not spent any time with him outside of this, and this is not bad, but there's got to be more for you than just this. Fortunately, he is a God who has nothing but desire to be with you in every aspect of your life, fortunately. But you've got to be intentional about it. You've got to let him into your mind. You've got to bring him into your life. And you've got to let him wake you up. And listen, we've got to stop thinking it's okay because we look around us and we see other sleepwalkers. We've got to stop judging ourselves against their failure. That's hard, and that doesn't feel good. I love you with all of my heart. You are my family. You are my people. You are my tribe. Y'all are my tribe. Yahweh sent his son, our rabbi Jesus, to die for us. We are connected through that. But if we allow ourselves to stay asleep because we look around and see sleepwalkers around us, that's no defense. That's no defense. Don't judge yourself by the failing of someone else. Judge yourself by the desire you have in your heart to be more. Father, we desperately want to awaken. Some of us, God, have been living this for a long, long time. There are people in here who can hear my voice that they are not asleep. They are on fire and they are working and they are moving and you are a living, breathing part of their lives and they engage you and they bring you into everything and they are grateful for you and they look at their lives and they see how you work and you move and they take an opportunity to give you the glory and the honor for that. They don't just wait for the bad times to drive them back to your feet. Because we'll do that, God. The times when we wake up, the thing that brings us out of our spiritual slumber is pain. Pain and challenge will wake us up quick and we'll say, God, where did you go? And we'll come looking for you real fast. And then sometimes we wonder why it is that we're experiencing what it is that we're experiencing. Sometimes we get frustrated with you, or sometimes we get angry, or sometimes we get sad because you have led us to some place of challenge when maybe what's happening is you are trying to wake us up. God, wake us up this morning in this place. May we come awake to the needs that we have and to spend time with you. May we come awake to the needs that we have to let ourselves be affected by what you are doing. May we see you. May we see your hand. May we give glory and honor in those moments. Father, may we spend more time in prayer than just the few minutes we spend here today. God, please bring people into our spheres of influence who need what it is that we've got, and give us the courage and the boldness to share that. May we stop walking around with the cure for spiritual cancer. May we stop just walking around with it. Give us an opportunity to give it to someone else. We are not responsible for what they do with it. We are responsible simply for sharing it. God, may we find room in our finances for blessing. Here's what I know. If there's no room in our finances for you, there's no room in our finances for your blessing. That's how it works. But if we'll open our finances to you, we will open our finances to your blessing, and you will do things that absolutely make no sense. You will meet our needs. You will bring us joy. You will be our life and our inspiration. You will be our hope. You will be our strength. Wake us up to the reality of who you are. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.